Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about rhodium, the first chemical that busts oxygen out of poor bits in your catalytic converters in everybody's car. Every modern car now has a catalytic converter, and your rhodium is the element of choice that your fuel gets blown past. I'll discuss this a bit more. Gets blown past first, and then what that does is it, when oxygen says, "Oh, you don't look so bad, nitrogen, I think I might go to you," the rhodium comes in, rhodium? Yeah. I have to... Look, I hope my memory has not gone completely bananas on it. This is, rhodium. Okay, it's under cobalt, rhodium goes in and breaks off the nitrogen oxides, says, reconverts it to nitrogen and oxygen. So this, the acid rain, which is going to pour out your venting chamber, your exhaust, thanks to Volvo in the 70s. Yeah, thank you, Sweden. Thank you for... is Boris Becker Swedish? No. I've forgotten the name. I know these tennis players, but they've vanished the names for my... Sweden used to be good at tennis. They probably still are. But they were also good at Volvos, and they were also... He's got lots of things, Sweden. You're an okay place, but yes, Stockholm, the Nobel Prizes. Thanks for all the rare earths. That's been useful for the human race and for ABBA, and for kick-starting catalytic converters. And the catalytic converters have basically a two-part thing. It's got the rhodium. I just have to look. It's not RU, it's not RE, it's RH, rhodium. It's rhodium. Just my head's really, this sort of dyslexia, really trying to think of it. Please forgive me if I've get the letters wrong, but I've got the actual facts right. That's rhodium first in your catalytic converter, that re-harvests the oxygen from the nitrogen oxide, so you've got new oxygen. And then the second part of the catalytic converter is a mix of platinum and palladium, just because it's really hard to extract such similar metals together. So it's a minuscule amount of this. So the second half of your catalytic converter goes in and burns that oxygen up by burning up any old fuel, any carbon monoxide. So coming out of your dirty combustion engine comes pristine water and carbon dioxide. Was there any problem? Well, yes, there would have been, unless the Swedes came up with their catalytic converter. And so every cheap car, every car nowadays has this little block of a catalytic converter. So what if the catalytic converter doesn't work? Well, to the absolute shock and horror, they have an oxygen meter before and after. And that measures the oxygen. And basically, if the catalytic converter is burning up your unburnt fuel properly, there'll be no oxygen left. So what happens is that it measures the ratio of oxygen before and after. And if your catalytic converter is going well, there'll be no oxygen left. And so what will happen is typically your car will be driving along, and you'll be your old car, everything, you'll be serviced, everything. And bing, the light will come on and it says, "You need a $500 to $1,000 catalytic converter. Are you a sucker? Do you actually know a good mechanic?" And you'll have to get a new catalytic converter. which will clean up your car. I think in the United States they have emission testing, and here in Australia you have to get your car inspected every year, and it's a bit of a rort. They put a little computer in your car and the mechanic takes it around the block, and it does some brake testing, but the computer software is pretty natty in terms of which had the car around the block, and it said, "Oh, your suspension isn't perfect. You need a new piece of software telling you this." And of course, that was a bit of a $300 shock, getting the new shockers in the back. But yeah, as cars age, you have to have this catalytic converter, and it's rhodium and first, and then after that it goes into platinum and palladium. So it's called a three-way catalytic converter. Beats me. I can see it doing two things. I can't see it's doing the third way, but it's got these the platinum group is hangs a shingle on it. That's what platinum group does at the moment, and hopefully we'll get away from the internal combustion engine. Yeah, people will eventually, they haven't solved the problem that it's actually destroying the planet. But so let's go through your car exhaust comes out, and I'll have to do the torque converter at some stage, because I don't think people really know how that works, but we'll go back. So the car comes out to your convert in your 70s Mustang. The 70 muscles cars for us would be the Ford Falcon or the Mustang. It makes a big throaty thing, and it's the muffler there. So before the muffler, now in these new high-tech vehicles which have got computers laden with it, the following things: an oxygen sensor, a rhodium converter, a platinum and palladium converter, another oxygen sensor reading up voltages up, and it is actually measuring your fuel emission all the time. It's sort of, thank goodness. So I don't know if you can believe it. And of course, what it would actually do is that the idea of killing yourself with carbon monoxide, if the catalytic converter is theoretically operating properly, it should no longer be possible to actually knock yourself off with the car exhaust. But I'm sure it doesn't get rid of all the carbon monoxide, but it does a very, very good job of it, your catalytic converter. So yeah, I'm not going to say anything more about it. So you've got those two things. Now, just on the side of nanoscience, oh my goodness, how are we doing it? What is that? You have a basically, I wish I could describe it. It's these long tubes of steel, I think it's aluminium foil that the catalytic converters are put on. So what happens is that you've got this huge, your fuel goes past this huge surface area. So the actual aspect ratio for each individual tube is about 50 to 1. So there's a 50, it may be, it can't be 50 to 1. Oh. It's probably about 1 millimeter aperture of these tubes, and they go 5 millimeter tubes, and it's like all these straws stacked together, but it's actually these flat. I don't know how it's. That's defeated me how I can actually describe what the inside of a catalytic converter looks like. Now you've got these tubes. They're not really tubes. They're sort of like square, long cells. About 1 millimeter aperture, and 1 millimeter by 1 millimeter aperture, and probably 2 by 2, and it goes for about 5 centimeters. And then the surface of that is caked with an aluminium oxide. This is like polishing paste. It's got a huge surface area and stuck in the aluminium oxide. I don't know how they do it. They put the palladium the platinum afterwards, and before that you have the rhodium. Now, the rhodium is named because when it was isolated, it made a pink chelated compound, so it was a rose coloured. So the person who discovered both palladium and rhodium wasn't that nationalistic, didn't that bright. He was quite a bright person, but he was just discovering of element times, and it was, I don't know, these were elements, I don't think they thought there was much use for them. So it starts with rhodium, and it's implanted into this aluminium oxide, and the aluminium oxide's coated on the inner surface of this, and so, of course, they are pure little nuggets of platinum, and pure little nuggets of palladium, and pure little nuggets of rhodium. And the thing is that these don't react. They catalyze it, and so initially what happens is that your carbon monoxide and unburnt fuel comes across. I'm not going to burn anymore because there's no oxygen around here. The nitrogen and oxygen, nitrous oxides are around here, hoping they get through, but oh no, they hit the rhodium catalyst. So when they're bouncing around, they hit the rhodium catalyst, and the nitrogen goes back to N2 and the oxygen goes back to O2. So you've got two NOs go to N2 plus O2. The oxygen then burns around. I think I'm safe, but no, it's reasonably hot, and the oxygen then hits the carbon monoxide and the other rubbish, and actually heats up on the and burns. It's complete combustion, and the reason that it does this is that the efficiency of combustion goes down at higher temperatures. So as you really press the gas, your fuel efficiency drops down, and part of your fuel efficiency dropping down is you get less joules, less energy out of your petrol, and that goes into more pollution at the high temperature and high pressures. There's Le Chatelier's principle, all these principles saying that you're not going to get your textbook reaction, but then the pressure is off and it can actually just do a last little bit of reaction and clean up the fuel and get past all the EU requirements. And look, it's for sure. My wife's blind and she can smell a car without a catalytic converter, and she can smell just the difference in cars without it, and hear the difference of different cars going along the place. And I don't know if anyone can remember what going around a city in the 70s was like. It was absolutely choking. And your catalytic converter should last the whole life of your car easily. Except if your engine is rubbish, it will overburn out your catalytic converter. So if your catalytic converter's gone, depending on, you can get a new one, and that should last the next session, but it's usually meaning that there's problems further up in your engine. Don't want to upset you on that. So why am I I think it's RH. There's RE is the one for making jet engines. Ruthenium's got no use whatsoever. That's next to it. The one after it, I think, is RH. I'll go back and absolutely smash my head against the periodic table if I've got this wrong. And so I'm just trying to learn my way through the periodic table. So before I just knew it. Just looked at it and knew it. Now I've got to go and start to work my way through it, work down, work things down, and I'm learning it differently. And so I'm really used to it. One of the things that I do know is that if the Z number is even, or if the group number, Z number's even, if the group number's even, if the group number's even, it's more abundant. And so your zinc, cadmium, mercury's at 80, and cadmium's, that's on an even group, that's on 12. That's more abundant than your copper, silver, gold. But the going down, your going down from the top, it's your nickel, palladium, platinum. So it gets you into that group there. So I begin to go across. It's cobalt, rhodium. Yeah, it's probably RH. I really can't remember it. So I'm just beginning to close up, and I'll you'll be with me as I learn my way through the periodic table. So here goes. I think I've got the transition metals good, but it goes hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium. And we have to cross again. It's aluminium, silicon, sulfur, chlorine, argon, potassium, and calcium. Calcium is number 20. Then we start off the transition elements, and which are gradually sort of moving, looking down for similarities and across, and remembering it. So it goes scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese. Okay, that's five in. Then it goes iron, cobalt, nickel, iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, and cadmium. Copper and zinc. As we're going across, I've just barely got there. So I'm just slowly remembering across, and then it goes gallium, germanium, arsenic. Is that right? Yeah, arsenic's under nitrogen. Selenium, bromine, and krypton. And then if we go further around, it goes rubidium. So there's rubidium and rhodium is the one that I'm talking about. I haven't ever said rubidium. Rubidium and strontium. And then yttrium. Okay, so titanium, zirconium. So I can see the different table in front of me. I'm just struggling my way through. And so you hit these dead zones, like the Pacific dead zone, where there's absolutely nothing happening. And there's nothing happening really in the platinum group. It's sort of, platinum group is so like other platinums, it's really hard to extract them. And it's sort of, the platinum group is sort of like a replay, a prelude to the lanthanides. Going down the platinum group, it's got iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, zinc. Okay, so the nickel group, you have nickel going down, nickel, palladium, platinum. Okay, is that good? And so it's the palladium, platinum are the ones that do the oxidation, which is they really burn your fuel, so it's ridiculous. And then cobalt, rhodium, which is, I think is RH. I'm not absolutely sure on that one. I'll have to go back and do RH, and underneath that I think is iridium. So that's got a lot of your platinum group, and then next to it is ruthenium. So ruthenium actually is named after, it's not after Russia, because I don't think they call Russia Russia in the Russians, but the Rus people, and so that's named after the homeland of the Russians, which is largely or a little bit in Ukraine at the moment. It's a bit hard to actually go that, and ruthenium is so rare that I don't think people really know what to do with it. There's another element in that platinum group, which would have to be osmium. So what happens is that I will go through it. The stress of having to memorize it will mean that I'll go to sleep tonight, and it'll come out again. But going across the transition metals again, it's scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, that's five. Then it's iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, zinc. And they're pretty common things to know about, and you can really get the use of it. So hopefully that's the catalytic converter. And most people don't know there's all that periodic stuff going every time you switch the tables on. Thanks for a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.